I've learned some things being a preacher for several years now that, you know, and so you'll hear me, oftentimes you'll hear me offer thanks and offer gratitude for our singers, musicians, people that are doing our music. I've learned that as a preacher that if you're not doing that, those same people can make your life really miserable very quickly. And so, you know, I'll do that. So I'll offer praise and I'll offer gratitude along the way. But I will also say that in a moment like today, and just looking back over the season that we began quickly after Thanksgiving, if you remember that, and as we came into the season of Advent and now into the Christmas season, our music folks have done an extraordinary job. I mean, it's been above and beyond. They also did it last year as well. Yeah, it is worthy of applause. And so oftentimes, I get to say it, but for all of you, the congregation, as well as people that are online, we certainly do appreciate it, and we certainly do value it. And so thank y'all. Thank y'all for leading us into this season of Christmas. I want to invite you to go into a section of Scripture in the New Testament. This is the Gospel according to John. It's going to be John chapter 15. We're going to start at verse 15, easy enough, easy connection enough. And then that latter part of verse 16 is where we're going to be at, but just a couple of verses. Well, this is the Gospel of John, John chapter 15, starting at verse 15. I'm reading from a translation of the Bible. It's called the New Revised Standard Version. This is the updated edition. And this is Jesus who is speaking. This is not a teaching moment. It's not a large crowd. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I've called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Everlasting God, we do come into your presence and are grateful to be in your presence. We come, O God, longing to draw close to you. And through your Holy Scripture, you have reminded us, Lord, that as we draw close to you, that you would come close to us. Lord, we are grateful, O God, that you have looked to us. And not only have you sent your Son into this world, not only have you sent, Lord, messengers to remind us of his presence and his glory, but Lord, you have offered us your very own friendship. You have looked to us and called us friends. Lord, in these few moments, open our hearts so that we may feel your friendship. Open our ears so that we may hear your words of friendship. Lord, open our eyes so that we may see the friendship of Christ in each of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I will say that this is a moment that feels today, by all means, that I am preaching to the crowd, because I've immediately noticed, like from coming in, that many of you already have come in with smiles on your faces. You've already come in happy. And so I know that coming into a moment like this of saying, how is it that we can be happy? How can we be happy? Many of you are already feeling it. I know that. I've picked up on it. I've felt it in my own presence as I've seen you this morning coming into church like this. But I will say this. This is something that I'm really quite passionate about, and as happy as we may feel, as happy as we may feel about being here, this is a feeling that we've got a real opportunity to share with the rest of the world. It may seem disingenuous to even ask that question, how to be happy. I hope, it is my hope, that as our children were scurrying around and as our children stood with straight faces as I was making corny jokes this morning, but as they were moving around and strolling around the congregation, giving you a little plastic Jesus, I did hope. I hope that it put a smile on your face. I hope that it did raise your spirit in the traditional way that the Scriptures remind us about happiness and joy and rejoicing. I do hope that it did lift your spirits, that it raised your spirits a little bit. I hope that you had at least a smile that came to your face. But what is the interesting thing about that is that we can be smiling in one moment, and then we can be sad in the very next moment. And so this idea about how to be happy, I think, is one that we can't just easily dismiss, that we can't easily find quick answers, because we never do. We never, as people who are created by God, as people who have felt God's salvation in our hearts, as people who have experienced the redemption and the forgiveness that Christ offers to each of us, we never reach that pinnacle moment when happiness becomes our whole life. Yet, the scriptures do remind us that happiness is always available to us. Today in our church, we celebrate. We celebrate Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany Sunday is at its very basic, it is revealing. It is revealing that Jesus Christ is not for a particular ethnic group, that it is not for a particular religious community, but it is for all the world. This is why wise men from the East travel to see Jesus, and they reveal that Jesus Christ is born, that Jesus Christ is Savior of the world. And so on this day, as we celebrate Epiphany, before the visit of the Magi, before the visit of the wise men, Matthew chapter 2, verse 10 reminds us, when the wise men saw the star, before they're at the manger, before they are at the bedside of Jesus, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And long before then, long before the wise men, long before the shepherds, long before even Mary and Joseph, Nehemiah proclaimed, an Old Testament prophet in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." For wise men who journeyed to Bethlehem following a star, the joy of the Lord was their strength. What's yours? What is the strength that you have that comes from the joy of the Lord? And even at a more basic level, what is your joy and your happiness that is today, that is that kind of joy and happiness that we know may be fleeting, but what is it in this moment? Because I think that's what the wise men remind us, is that every moment counts. And what moments have overwhelmed you with exceedingly great joy, like the wise men? Because for them, and in the story that we lift up, and in the story that is so well known that even our children can recite it to us, for them, that joy was completely life-changing. And that's what I want for us. That's what I want for us as we do consider this question: how can we be happy? Now, I will start with a warning. So, Berkeley psychology professor did some research, and as they started into this research, this is fairly new, it's August of 2024, it's the American Psychological Association's Journal of Emotion, appropriately named, but they began to study this idea about people who worried too much about happiness. And they said, actually, if you worry too much about making yourself happy, if you worry too much about how you can be happy, if you worry too much about doing things to make you happy, it can actually lead to depression. So if you've ever, you may have already said that. You might have already discovered that through some trial and error, where there is actual data, there is actual research that can back that up. And it's fairly new research that has come down. But one of the things that is absolutely true is that happier people experience less stress and anxiety. Happier people are they're more creative, they're more open to new ideas. Happier people, they're more friendly, they're easier to approach. You've probably run into this too. You've probably experienced this. Imagine walking down a hall and you see someone. You see someone just around the corner, and you see them start to emerge, and it's someone that is well known as someone who complains, someone who is negative. What do? You may want to duck. You may want to avoid them. But not only that, in another sense, how do you feel when you see that person coming towards you? When you see that person who is negative, when you see that person who complains, how is it that you feel? And the thing about it is that there is a feeling that we have. We feel it in our stomachs. We feel it in our guts. Sometimes, unfortunately, we feel it in our chest too. But on the other hand, what happens when you see someone happy? What happens when you're around someone that seems happy and the person that always is happy? You feel that energy just being around them. You feel energized just being around them. See, when we are happier, we're more approachable, and people around us, the experience us as more friendly. And it's quite phenomenal when you start to think about it, that by being happier, that people can pick up on that positive energy. And yet Jesus understood this. Said it to his disciples, face to face, one on one, said to his disciples, I do not call you servants any longer. By all means, they were. Jesus comes to them, he meets them, he even meets them in the midst of midday when they are fishing. For some of them, it says, come follow me. They drop their nets. They immediately start to follow Jesus. But he says, I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. Because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus called the disciples friends. They're not servants, they're not students, but they're friends. Because what Jesus had done is that in that space of being together, in that one-on-one space, he had revealed everything that he was doing. And with Jesus, they were friends, and they had access to know everything that God was doing, not only in Jesus' life, but also what God was doing in their life, and even more importantly, what God was doing in their group as they were gathered together as disciples, but then what God was doing in the world. And that is the first step. That's the first step to beginning to discover how to be happy, seeing Jesus as a friend. This is the idea that Nehemiah had long before the birth of Jesus, that said the joy of the Lord is our strength, because joy and happiness joy and happiness are much more contagious when we're around our friends. There's another really interesting study that Robert Kraut, again, psychology professor, this is a study that came in 1979. But you know, he began to watch, and you can imagine 1979, so you can imagine late 70s, early 80s, there are a lot of people that find themselves in bowling alleys. Robert Putman did a wonderful book several years ago. It's called Bowling Alone. Late 70s, early 80s, people were bowling in groups. They were bowling together. And so this psychologist goes and he watches people at a bowling alley. Now, imagine that. You build your career and you get paid to watch people bowl strikes at a bowling alley. This is exactly what he was doing. So he's showing up at the bowling alley and he's watching people. And so what happens when you make a strike? What happens when you make two strikes? What happens when you make three strikes? Well, you get turkeys that pop up on the screen and you get turkeys that pop up on the board and everything like that. But what Kraut noticed is that as people were bowling strikes, probably the kind of thing that makes you happy. And you bowl one, you bowl two, you bowl three, you get to that 300 game, you bowl multiple ones. But what he observed, what he noticed, is that as the bowlers were coming up, and as they were bowling that strike, they didn't smile, they didn't laugh, until you probably know where I'm going, until they turned around and saw the people they were with. Think about your happiest moments. Think about the moments of joy that you've had in your life. Think about those moments of happiness, and you can probably recall the people that you were around. You probably recognize the people that you were with. You probably recognize those moments when you were overwhelmed with exceedingly great joy, and then you turned around to share it with the people that were around you. This is the invitation that Jesus gives all of us. I have called you friends, Jesus says, because a servant does not know what the master is doing, But I have shown you everything. I have revealed everything to you. Now, just as dreadful is that when we are distant, when we are isolated from our friends, we become less happy. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy has even described the conditions that surround us right now in our current day as being in the midst of a loneliness epidemic. Early Christians recognized this. They recognized this in their own communities. You're likely familiar with this verse of scripture that gets used a tremendous amount and has even gained a lot of traction post-COVID. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, let us not neglect meeting together as some have gotten into the habit of doing or in the custom of doing. So how can we be happy? Well, it's recognizing the joy of the Lord is our strength and that in Jesus we certainly do have a friend. Recognizing that Jesus has not limited anything about what God is doing in our world, in our community, in our lives, that we have access to everything that God is doing. And recognizing that we're not only a servant, that we are not just a student that is learning, but today Jesus has called you a friend. And that there's an immediate boost of happiness that when we have friends around us. And so that feeling and that longing that you have that I need to reach out to that person, that feeling and that longing that you have that I need to call them, that feeling that you have about I need to once again make a connection with them, you're absolutely right. Because one of the things that we have found, not only in psychological research, although there are reams of studies that show this, but also in our scriptures, is that when we do, when we connect with that person, when we connect with that friend, that brings happiness to us, it also brings happiness to them. And our true friend, Jesus, who invites us into everything that Jesus is doing. And so those two things is tapping into that feeling of friendship that we know, that we already have, and recognizing that Jesus today calls us not servants, not students, but friends. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the joy that you so freely and that you so eagerly offer into our lives and into this world. And this day, Lord, as we celebrate with great joy, oh Lord, the journey of wise men from the east, as we recognize the joy that will capture their imagination when they saw a star rise, the joy that sustained them on what, oh God, can certainly be difficult paths and difficult roads, and certainly at that moment of seeing Christ, we pray and ask that you will let us also share in that joy. Because just as they were friends around Christ, Lord, truly, you have called us friends too. And now, as friends, prepare us in our hearts and our minds to come to your table. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I do want to remind you that you do not have to be a member of this church. You do not have to be a member at Grace Point. You do not have to be a member of the United Methodist Church. This table is open to all those who seek to live at peace with God.